Yo, yo. What's good with you?
Reading is dope.
Some books are for knowledge and some you read for entertainment. The same with blogs and magazines. Each word gets you higher. It fills you with hope. You're now tuned into the podcast.
Reading is dope.
You're tuned in to the Reading is Dope podcast. Right here on WG4L. Gilla for Life Radio.
Reading is dope.
On this episode, I had the pleasure to speak with the author, poet, qualified mental health professional.
Reading is dope.
That goes by the name of Miss Tiffany Forbes. Yo, we had a dope little conversation. We discussed her inspiration. How long she's been writing. Different challenges in her life. How she persevered through all of them. Just pushed through, you know.
Reading is dope.
So just sit back and enjoy. Soak up some of these jewels. And you know, be Gilla for life.
Reading is dope.
Cause this is Gilla for Life Radio. Alright, so I'm sitting here with Miss Tiffany Forbes. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I can't even complain. Just living life, loving it. Alright, so why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, again, my name is Tiffany Forbes, and I'm an author and a publisher. I work in the mental health field. Been doing that since 2008. So, I know crazy, but at the same time, as far as my writing career, I have been writing all my life. And I have published, my first published book came out in 2016. I wrote it, actually, believe it or not, while I was incarcerated. That's why I started this story at. I have nothing else to do.
Right.
Was on lockdown. So I had a publisher, but that didn't work out. So I decided to learn and network and build, and I wrote my own first book, Silly of Me, and I published it in February of 2016. And since then, it's just like I've just been writing.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, if you don't mind, why were you incarcerated? I didn't know that.
Well, I was incarcerated because around the time it was for credit card fraud and forgery. So, believe it or not, and it was crazy. Like I said, I've been working in mental health. So, I was actually working for the state. I had a state job and everything.
Right.
And I was working, and it was, you know, a situation with some credit cards or whatever. And I flew over a year and a half in active detention and diversion because I was a first time offender.
Okay.
So throughout the process of me going back and forth, you know, while I was sitting in jail and when I was in a facility, I was just writing. I always had the writing in me. Like, I've been writing all my life.
Right, right.
And that happened around 2010. But like I said, I kind of sat on the book. I had it just stuck to the side. And then when I got serious in like 2015, I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and publish the book because I started letting people read it.
Right. So you wrote the book around 2010 in that time frame, and then it was just kind of sitting and marinating, and you decided to go ahead and make that move with it?
Pretty much. So, you know, of course I had to update it, bring it up to speed and everything, but the story was going back then.
Right.
It was like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been incarcerated, but if you're not jail, especially if they ain't got no staff, you ain't really coming out to sale. So it's like, shit, I ain't got no books to read. We can't watch TV. Hell, I might need to write a story that I would like to read. That's pretty much, you know, like I said, I've always been a writer.
Right.
So that's where the idea came from.
You know, they say everything happens for a reason. I mean, maybe you just had to sit down to find your purpose, you know?
Right.
So was that story inspired by some of your life's events, or like what inspired that first one?
My life is an urban fiction book sometimes. You're not turning on Facebook. You see the stuff that be going on, but no, it's like a little, it's a mixture, like, you know, my life, urban, like, this stuff that I've seen. So some people talk shit about urban fiction. I can't cuss right.
Are you good?
Some people talk shit about urban fiction. Oh, that's fake. This person ain't made his life. I'm like, No, I've had experiences like, dude, I'm right about a shootout or drive by anything crazy. I might have been near it, heard about it, close enough to it. Like, I'm just saying.
Right, right. So, do you write any other genres?
Yes, I do, because my undergrad degree is in English. I have a bachelor's in English. So, yes, I do, actually. I write all kinds of stuff. Like, on my website, if you get a chance, you can go on So Amazing Publications. Like, because I work in mental health, I focus on mental health and self-care. So I do write a lot about stuff about self-care, mental wellness, you know, stuff like dating. Of course, even though my dating life is a hot mess, but just overall, I know what I'm supposed to do. I ain't saying I always do it.
Right,
but I
right.
write sci-fi, other things. I write everything, basically.
Oh, okay, okay. So do you find the writing process to be therapeutic?
Sometimes. What I do, I try to write every day. It's nothing more than a paragraph. It is therapeutic to me, because sometimes I have to write.
So you write every day, you say?
Mm-hmm. It may not even be a story. I don't care if I make a list, because I'm big on things like manifestation, too. So
yeah.
I might stand and write things that I want to happen, things that should happen, or I might just write down things that happened that shouldn't have happened, but I do write all day. Mm-hmm.
You know, they say writing is actually one of the best avenues towards manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they say writing is like a really spiritual process. You know what I'm saying? That's why.
It is.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm agreeing with you. It is. Like, when you write it, you know how when they say, like, I ain't really trying to get used to that, but you know, like, when they say cast a spell, when you write your words, you're spelling.
Right, right. Yeah, I've read that a couple places. So, you know, it's crazy. So, how many books have you written so far? Or published, I should say.
Let's see. Honestly, it's not so terrible. I'm going to give 2010 to 15, because some stuff I have written is in 10 days. Currently working with someone right now, ghostwriting the book. She's doing her first book, so I'm working with someone on that. But I have a bunch of journals and planners. If you just go on Amazon on one channel, I think I have like 100 things up there. But it's not just books, you know what I'm saying? It's notebooks,
right.
Planners, different stuff.
Okay. So is this Black Women Are Dope, period? Is that yours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's one of my notebooks, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all this is, because I'm looking at it right now.
So, yeah, it says Tiffany Forbes and Divine
Diva. Yeah, all this. And is the Colors of Resilience Freedom Day, that's yours too?
Yeah, I did that last year for Juneteenth Festival. So I said, let me do some things. I did a coloring book, and then I have like an activity book.
That's cool. So do you like pass them, like, do you give them out to kids, or like, I mean, I imagine the coloring book is targeted towards kids, right?
Well, no, actually, I don't use that. I actually like color books than that. I use color pencils when I do color. That's how fair, too. You know, it's soothing and relaxing. So,
yeah,
okay. No, I actually sold them at the festival.
Okay. Well, that's what's up. That's definitely what's up. I see. Did you say you collab with different authors, right?
I did a couple of collabs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that this Hood Tales. I guess it's with Serenity James, I guess.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. Actually, I had fun doing that. It's kind of like, I don't know, I would say read it. It's like, it's good.
So, like, what's the process when you're collabing with an author? Like, do you write a page or two and then you send it to her? Like, yo, check this out. And then she builds on it? Or, like, what's the process?
It depends on who you work with and what y'all working on. Because the way we did it, we both get our own separate stories in the book. You know what I'm saying? I think I did one story. Her story was a little longer than that.
Okay.
My man was all over the place. At this point, I probably had two full-time jobs, so I did two short stories, and she did one longer one. You know what I'm saying? It was in the book. But that's my girl, so, like, she would send me stuff. I'm like, who added to it?
Right.
Same thing with mine. Like, this my dog. This like my sister. So we really worked together, like, we wrote our own separate stuff, and then, you know what I'm saying, we went back over it, and like, oh, this sound better, take this out, and just whatever.
Right, okay. So how many... Go ahead.
Oh, let's answer that real quick. So I done another collab with someone else, what we did was we all turned in, you know, the same thing. We all wrote separate stories that went in the same book, but we all kind of had a topic to stick to, if that makes sense. So it's like I said, when you do collaborations, depending on, you know, who you're working with, some people really will write the whole story. Like, you might do a paragraph or two, and then I might, so it depends on who you work with and how, which our goal is overall.
Right. So for your, the book, you said each of y'all had a different topic. Was that like a book of short stories?
Yeah. Okay. Both of these were short stories. This was the one with the different topic. That was a Valentine for the Love or Lust. Okay. And the other one, Hood Tales, that was more like a Halloween, urban, thriller, paranormal. Like, I'm talking about, we had like witches, all kind of crazy stuff.
Kind of like a Tales from the Hood type book.
Yeah, and then it's like, it's, and because I saw, I don't know if I said it already, but like, I was in mental hospital, so I put myself, like, I some kind of concern for like working in the mental hospital, and like, at the time the lady at work tipped me off, I'm like, oh, she's going in this book, because she's the laziest fucking nurse I ever seen. I'm putting her in the store.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, because I have like 8 years experience working in the mental health field as well. So, like, when I was working in that field, I felt like, it was a strong spiritual vibe that permeated the facility. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a dark, like you could make a scary movie off of it.
Yo, I'm telling you, like, when I used to work at, I worked at Central State. Central State is like the oldest fucking place. I'm sure you've heard of it. You talk about Central State, Virginia. That shit was here like since 1800. And it was like built for us to put slaves and right. stuff, you know? How long Central State was here. Central State housed black people up until the fucking 70s, I believe. 60s, 70s, it was mainly just black people. And it was like, they was experimenting on people. People was being involuntarily admitted. Like, you really can feel the energy out there. I'm serious. Like, I work night shifts. Like, you just sound like you can hear talking at night when you brought up your car. It was like, the energy out there was crazy. That ain't even lying.
And I believe it. I believe it. I mean, because just imagine how they treated them. So, I mean, it's probably a few of them that got killed in there, and their spirits just got left in there. You know what I'm saying? So, I definitely feel
and then, you know, back in the day, nobody was keeping records, nobody was checking. Slaves was property. And even after slavery, like, you know, black people still wasn't treated, you know, the way civil. They should be treated.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, into that, it was crazy. So, that's what kind of made me write a story, but I'm one of those people like, look, my ancestors walk with me, so I'm good.
Right, right. Okay.
And I ain't harm nobody. I'm not here to harm nobody or bring no harm to nobody. So that was, I just bring positive energy. That was my whole thing. So I was okay, but it's just different.
Right. That's wild. I'm gonna have to check that out. Have you recorded any of your books in audiobook format?
You know, I have not, and I need to.
That's definitely an avenue to pursue. Because, like, I like listening to audiobooks.
Because, you know, at first, and I'm sure I well, the updates, I didn't work in, I didn't even lie, I didn't work in a lot. But at first, it was kind of hard to, I'm not going to say hard, but, you know, it was a little harder to get that done. But now, I see that Amazon has made changes. That means Amazon, so I even thought about doing my own narration. Like, I know how I wanted to sound, how I wrote it. So right. That's another thing I might, you know, do.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I produce audio books as well. So, I mean, if you want to work together, we can go ahead and work together. I mean, you could do the narration.
Like, I might sound some country. I don't know.
Why you say that?
No, I'm just being funny. Don't do my type of thing. I need you people to understand what I'm saying. And you're like, I don't know what
you think. I mean, they have to understand it, but I mean, typically your audience probably will understand it as long as you enunciate your words correctly.
But you're not surprised about it. I am a writer. I have an English background, but I'm from where I'm from. That's why I like to write. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. You feel like you communicate better with the written word as opposed to the spoken word?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can dig that.
Yeah, I communicate too, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I can communicate to others, but I communicate well with people that I'm close to and my friends and family. I'm not one of those people Which I just can't even explain it. Like, I would do public speaking. I don't have a problem with it. Like, you put me on a program and tell me I got to post that shit or MC it, I'll do it. But you know what I'm saying? I never had a problem with that. Even when I was growing up in church on Youth Sunday, I was the worship leader. I had to read the announcements and all that. So even in school, I would do like assemblies and stuff. But it just be like these books. Like, do I want to do this or not?
I can dig that. Like me, I was never really the public speaking type. Like, I would, because, you know, when I was making music and we had to perform, I would do it, but I'd be nervous as hell before I go on stage. But, like, yeah, I'm better at the written word than the spoken word. That's just me, though.
So, what type of music were you doing?
I was doing hip-hop.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple albums, you know what I'm saying? You know, I kind of drifted away from it over the years, but you know, it's always in me. But this is about you, just not about me.
I mean, I'm just asking. You listen to
that. Right. I ain't mad at you. I'm just playing with you.
Reading is dope.
Reading is a way to live out your dreams. Because reality ain't always what it seems. Reading is a path to opportunity. It can build bridges between you and me. Reading is a way to find your purpose. Because you know you're more than what they see on the surface. Reading is a way to seek education. It stimulates your mind and increases contemplation. That's why reading is dope. So what inspires you to write?
What inspires me to write is each day that I get up, it's a new opportunity to tell a new story. New opportunity to get my voice out there.
Right. That's what's up. So do you get a lot of feedback from fans?
You know, it's crazy. It's just now, when people read all of this stuff, they just leave ratings. I don't know what the hell I have for Amazon. People used to leave reviews, but I don't even care if they don't, honestly. Leave a rating, I know you're ready. Or if I can count this, you know, on a chart and like, okay, somebody's reading me. I don't even be stressing because I can see my page count. I can see that people are buying it. I don't care. Like, I hate to say it like that, but somebody's reading it because people are reading it.
Yeah, no doubt. So, like, what was the best feedback you ever got that, you know, just kind of made you like, damn.
Some of my best feedback was actually horrible. Like, in my first book, it was like, I didn't like this. You need to change it. I'm like, I'm going to take all this into consideration and I'm going to go back and do the things that they said. And, you know, it helped. Yeah. But it also taught me, don't rush to put shit out. Like, take your time. Like, okay, because get past readers, beta readers, proofreaders, do all that. Like, get other eyes on the story. Get opinions. Like, people that, you know.
Right.
And when the stories that I use beta readers, I didn't know I'm a fucking beta reader when I first did my first book.
Right.
But like after that, yeah, I'm like, let me run this past two people that read actually that do leave reviews and read all the time and see what they think. Give your honest opinion. Does this sound real? Do you think this is something you want to read? You know, and it helps. Cause I mean, I could be writing a story like, I don't know. Everybody read Coldest Corner Ever. Did you read that?
No. I've heard about it though.
Okay, well, the second book came out, the sequel, 20 fucking years later, and the main character dies, so she's like a ghost in the story. I'm like, you telling me, damn it, that we waited 20 years for the main character to be a ghost? Like, what? Where were the beta readers? Like, stuff like this is like things that you know what I'm saying, you want some feedback before you publish it. Like, this could have been the best story ever, and y'all dropped the ball. So I'd like to get, you know, feedback before I drop it.
Right. So do you feel like that first project you rushed?
No, it wasn't rushed. I just could have done more, and I did go back and fix it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like I told you, I had been sitting on it for a couple of years. It's just that it was new to me. This was a learning process. You know, like if you don't know something,
you gotta learn it. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I did. Like I basically focused on what I need to learn and figure out. Like, I'm talking about, I learned how to format books. I learned how this is the size puzzle. Like, that's how I ended up doing, like, all those journals and planners. Like, okay, messing around. Like, let me learn how to do some of this stuff myself. Because at first, I was seeing people like, hey, if you want to do a planner or a journal, I can do it. I'm like, what do I want to do 20 or 30 panels of journals? I don't have thousands of dollars to let you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to figure this out myself.
Right. So
I like to learn stuff, so that's how that goes.
So your planners and journals are for like say if I wanted to buy one so I can journal myself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Some of them are just plain line notebooks. And then I have some different, like the Black Men Are Dope, that's like a book for men, like they can write down thoughts and things. Then it's like the manifestation book. I have, you know, like a planner. I have a budgeting book. Mm-hmm. Like a self-care web. It's different. I have different things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's different. I like that. I mean, I never really thought of authors creating their own planners or things like that. You just really think of them writing books, essays, or things like that.
I'm a creative person, so you got to put the energy somewhere.
Okay. So what does the concept of creativity mean to you?
Creativity means sometimes if I cannot sleep, if I am up all night here and my laptop is charged and ready, let me get out here and see what I can do.
Okay.
And like with the planners and journals, okay, I'm going to just be honest. Like I said, I like to do stuff. I'm one of those people, not saying I got to keep my name out there, because Divine Diva is just like, I just feel like I'm Divine Diva, but that's why I named the journals and planners under that. But just, I wanted to be doing something because I knew I was, you know, I was getting my master's during the pandemic. I was so tired of writing 10 and 20 page papers. I couldn't write a book at the time. I couldn't complete a book. Let's put it like that. I was writing, right. But I knew I wasn't going to publish a book. So with that being said, I needed to do something. Like, I need to be creating something literary.
Right, right.
So that's where that came from.
Okay. So what did you get your master's in?
Human services. So as that ties into, I feel like I should have went on crazy because I started the second master's program, but that took a break from me. But I sit next to the social workers that work right now. So I did all the work today pretty much. The only thing I did not do was the internship part. That's what distinguishes my degree from like kind of like a social work degree, honestly.
Right.
So my degree, I pretty much can work in criminal justice, I can work in mental health, I can work in healthcare. It's like human services is well rounded. I can work anywhere pretty much.
Right. I get that. I thought about going back for something more related to human services, but I don't know. I'll figure that part out.
Yeah, every day is a struggle when I decide if I want to finish that second master, because it's just like, I mean, honestly, like my job, I love my job. Like I said, I'm considered as a qualified mental health professional.
Right.
So it's like, I work every day. I still get to help people. That, you know what I'm saying? I'm still helping people. I still network with people. I talk to people all the time. So I'm still being of service. It's just a different avenue, like I said. So, I mean, I'm still happy with what I do, basically. And I feel like, so sometimes I feel like it's really not worth me getting another degree.
Right.
Because, you know, once you have your master's, you have to do so much every year, get these different certifications and stuff anyway from working in your field.
Right.
And I'm about to take, I'm going to sign up soon to take a national smoking cessation specialist thing, so I can actually work anywhere in the United States helping people. So that means I probably, my plan is to do virtual group sessions, you know, like I can actually do virtual groups. I may even start a nonprofit, so it's like I can work at doctor's offices, group homes, different places going around teaching people about smoking cessation. So that's another avenue. So at this point, do you know how much income, you know what I'm saying, like that I'll be able to extra bump up my income doing that, and I'm also helping people without actually going back to racking up another degree. So right. That's something I'm working on too. I don't need no more student loans.
Oh, trust me, I understand.
Right.
Quick question. So what is the difference between a smoking cessation specialist and a substance abuse counselor?
I only focus on smoke, like tobacco, smoking, oh, you know.
Right, okay.
That's the big difference. But with substance abuse, they take courses on, you know, treating addiction and substance abuse. They might touch on smoking, but they are more focused on like the alcohol addiction and such.
Okay. Because I actually thought about pursuing a certificate in that, just to, you know, kind of.
I don't think that's a bad idea. Yeah, that's, because, you know, I thought about that too, but I'm like, you're not saying back in the suburbs of Mississippi, y'all gonna throw me over here and have me doing that too, so I don't know about all
right, right.
Have about 3 jobs in one day, like, I'm good.
I already know. So, as a QMHP, I imagine that you have a lot of deadlines. So, how do you balance creativity with meeting those deadlines?
Well, I get up really early, that's one thing. My sleep is so crazy because, like, I've been to bed kind of early, but I also wake up, you know, I go to bed in a decent hour, and then I get up early and write a little bit, or I might, like, get up at maybe 12 o'clock, write an hour or two, then I go back to sleep. And so it's just, like, the time frame. Even at work, you know, like, when I first get there, I don't just first start working. I might mess around, write a little something, do whatever, then I'll start my day. So I make time. Person, believe you me. Okay. Even if I'm driving down the road, if I have an idea, I'll just do like a note or voice message or whatever on my phone.
That's what's up. So you make sure you record every little idea that comes, huh?
Yeah, I do. I write these things down. I sure do. Like, let me make a note of this. This is good right here. This is good. Let me get this down.
Hey, no doubt, because I do the same thing. Like when I first start messing with iPhone and I got that notes app. Man, I thought I was in heaven because every time I get an idea, like a couple bars here and there, I go jot them down in the notes app and then go about whatever I was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got 90,000 notes.
Right, 1,000 notes with just 2 lines. Like, what is this?
But yeah, that's me all day. Like, what in the world? What was I thinking about? What is?
But sometimes you get some gems like that, though.
But, you know, and that email I saw too, and it's funny because I was telling my best friend earlier, I'm like, I need to sit in the right. She was like, well, shit, you pull some of them notebooks out. Because I got a trash bag right here beside my desk with notebooks and stuff. And he's like, you didn't just pull one of them out and get in there and pull some stuff out. So, like, you put a few of them together, you have a book. I'm like, girl, stop.
But I feel it, though. Because, you know, I mean, I got, like, a lot of notebooks that just got scribbles and everything around here. So, I get it. That's just your creativity. Just want to burst out of you.
But, you know, even when I be writing so many crazy Facebook posts, I'd be like, you know what? I'm about to make this story because it's crazy.
Hey, might as well.
No, some of the stuff I write, people are like, was that true? I'm like, what you said? Yes, it was true. I ain't not lying. Like, my whole little saga I had over the weekend. I was like, well, y'all is over here, y'all. Oh my God, you gonna be the weekend. That's why I kept on telling people on Monday. Like, that past is in the past. We moved on. I don't know that lady.
That was my alter ego.
I'm like, what am I here? Are you in the turn? I'm acting bad on Sunday.
So, do you ever experience writer's block?
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you handle it?
That's when I do stuff like, I know I'm trying to tell old lady, like, I just go to something relaxed, and I don't know, you know what I'm saying? If I can't think of anything right, whatever, I just do other stuff. That's why I was saying, like, I like to color. I just like to put coloring books or something. I like this color. Just give me something to do, or this is when I sit down at those times and I try to watch a movie or catch up on a series. Do you know, you just start watching stuff, like, if I, for an example, I might be like, all right, okay, let me go sit down and watch, catch up on my shows I ain't watching. Let me go watch Raising Kanan and whatever.
Right.
Go watch the whole season over, whatever. Then I'm like, you know what, this is crazy. What would I do? So then that gives me ideas, not necessarily on that story, but it just gets me to thinking so I can write.
So pretty much you let other people's creativity jog your creativity.
Yeah, because it'll be like, all right, just say somebody hit cheat, like on the show, somebody's husband is cheating on her.
Right.
But then I'm like, damn it, well, what would I do if my husband was cheating on me in a situation? Like, you know, and it's just like putting things into play, like, okay, now, that wouldn't be me. This is what I would do. Right. So that gives me a whole idea. I'm like, yeah, my husband cheating on me. Matter of fact, let's see. My husband cheated on me, and I caught him. So that just starts creating, I might just start with a paragraph. Then I might go back around to that paragraph and just be like, this wife has stayed up with her husband. She's been stayed up since day one. Whatever the case may be. And it just builds on, you know, stuff. It's just crazy how my writing process works.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
Like I said, over the weekend, the shit I had going on. that's definitely gonna be a story. Not so much as everything that was going on, but it leads up to a story. Like at the end of the day, I'm probably gonna end up writing about a woman that was minding her business when y'all niggas have just easily left her the fuck alone.
Right, right. No doubt. So go ahead.
Then you have the crazy ass girlfriend that man neglected to mention that's going crazy over here, wanting to be in control, just fucking crazy. Like, acting right from my point of view, what would make another woman act like that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, y'all piss me off, but y'all gonna pay one way or the other. Y'all gonna pay some bills around here if you're going in the story.
Say, we finna make the most of this experience.
Yeah,
more
like just negative and
make it a
positive.
No doubt. So how would you describe your writing style?
My writing style is, I would just have to say, it's just to reflect me, basically. Like, I read people, like, I used to read, I'm an avid reader too. I don't want to say so much as now, but I did a lot of reading.
Okay.
Like, one of my favorite books was, like, Your Eyes Are Watching God.
I've heard about it.
And the way she wrote the book, she wrote it just like she talked.
So you really connected with that?
I like that. And I like the overall things in the book, sexuality, femininity, and women, and all of that. Like, I feel like I write urban fiction, but it's a lesson to be, like, in my first story, I would have more lesson in that. Like, don't be no fucking doormat for no man.
Right.
But overall, just like, I do try to put little lessons in my books. Like, as I started writing further, like, one of my books, it's domestic violence, whatever. But it's called, this particular book is called, like, this book, no, Love Isn't Always on Time. With that particular book, basically, the young lady had a mate. She wanted better, so she thought it. You know what I'm saying? You know how they say the grass ain't green on us, that, whatever.
Right, right.
You had a good, you wanted to glitch the glamour and all that, and you get over here, man, you got a domestic violence situation with a crazy ass dude and all drugs and just a cheater and just a hot mess.
Right.
But you can't tell me about it because you talk so much shit there, and now I love him, he's so good. And now you know, crazy situation. So the lesson from that book was, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta be thankful and be patient. Like, you want fast results, and, like, you're not trying to will it to grow. It's like, you pass up on a really good man because you so badly want to be, like, on a reality show or all of his life. You just want it too much, basically, and you weren't really working towards it yourself. So the lesson with that, you know, like, I was teaching, you know, just telling younger women, like, everybody now want to do all this social media fame and acting crazy. I'm like, you know, it's okay to work a regular job and do what you gotta do, save and do whatever. You don't have to be out here, like, if you're 20 years old, unless you, like, TikTok famous, or which that shit didn't happen, or not, you can have TikTok and all this, but if you're young, it's nothing wrong with going to school and working for what you want, saving. You don't need to be out here just because a flashy dude come up, like, oh, yeah, this is good, I'm just falling over here with him. Like, because you might end up in some real bad situations. So that was kind of like a lesson in that book.
Right, right.
Then I had another book where it was like a mother. She had a few kids and she was fed up with her man. And it was like, as women, we are more than just wives and mothers. You gotta have some time for ourselves. So you can't take care of your man or your kids if you're not right. So that's the focus of this particular book. So like I said, as I got older and the more I started writing, that's why I put it, you know what I'm saying? There's a lesson in this book. You can learn something from it.
Reading is dope.
Hi, I'm Nicole, the founder and president of Single Parent Families Battling Cancer Foundation, created in memory of Tanisha Johnson. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization assisting with day-to-day needs of single-parent households affected by any form of cancer. To learn more, please visit spfbcancer.org or visit our Facebook page, Single Parent Families Battling Cancer Foundation. Thank you.
So you like to put jewels, or, you know what I'm saying, lessons in all your books?
Going forward, yes. And then And the book was Domestic Violence. I don't know if I believe I did mention that, like, domestic violence isn't okay if you experience that, you know, get help.
Right.
Like, my last book, the guy actually had mental illness. The girl, you know how girls always send you on a street dude, a hood nigga, whatever. And I'm like, girl, that man ain't fucking crazy for real. He said that mental illness. Like, so I put that in the book because a lot of women don't realize that, you know, a lot of black males, not believe in getting mental health treatment. They just be like, oh, that's just how he is. I'm like, no, girl, that man needs some fucking help.
Right.
So basically in the book, it's like recognizing, you know, pointing towards it's okay to get help, to seek counseling if shit ain't right. Like, don't be sitting up here trying to, you know, ride it down. You're being jailed the rest of your life playing around when, you know,
Yeah. You
could have pointed him to some help or he could have took himself wherever. So I do put in the back of the book, you know, if you also in suicide or different things, I put all that stuff in the back of the book to help people out. Because young people, a lot of young people just don't take nothing serious. I hate to say it like this. So I did put all that in the back of the book and just talk about it, you know.
Right.
Some people getting smaller that.
Okay. I mean, that's a wise way to go. I mean, you'd be able to tap into a different audience as well.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, sometimes people pick up books because they're going through things.
Right.
That person might actually be feeling suicidal. They just read the past time, you know, like, hey, today ain't today, but, like, well, at least if you make it through this book, you'll see here's some help for you at the back, you know?
Right. Yeah, you never know.
You know, I try to, like, now write things that can kind of help people. Like I said, even on my website, I talk about different, you know, different things. I just haven't added any articles lately, but, like, as Black people, we got to start actually, you know, pushing for good health care. Like, you know, your mental wellness. It's okay to take a break, get some rest. Like, you ain't got to be everything for everybody.
Right. That is true. I don't know. I think we just... I don't know. I'm reading this book. It's called The Developmental Psychology of the Black Child. And in the book, the author discusses, like, he has, like, three different... His name is Amos N. Wilson. He talks about, like, three factors that really affect the Black child growing up. And one of the factors was the frustration of the Black existence. And in that, he talked about how, as a Black person, in most cases, we strive to accomplish goals that typically get thwarted, whether unconsciously or consciously, by, you know what I'm saying, the system or just society in general. And in our hearts, we understand it. It's probably because of our skin color that these goals are being frustrated like that. So the kids pick up on that. So as a Black child tends to grow up with that energy, and that energy kind of reflects on our mental health. You know what I'm saying? So when you see shit like that, go ahead.
And I said, on our subconscious, you might not even realize that, you know, you picked up on this, but you have.
You have, you know what I'm saying? And the thing is, kids are way more perceptive than we think they are. So when we frustrated, or when shit is fucking with us, you know what I'm saying? Our kids are picking up on that. You feel me?
Right.
So, I mean, it's crazy. But I feel you. Keep on, you know what I'm saying, adding those jewels, you know what I'm saying, to your books. Like, do you ever put any of your personal experiences in your books? Or how does your personal experiences affect your writing?
No, I do. Like, you might not, you won't probably never know it's me, but right. I do put my thought process, my input, you know, some stuff. I'm like, yeah, I wish I could have did this or whatever, but right. Yeah, I put it in the book.
Okay, yeah, that's wise too. I think that's a part of the process that makes it therapeutic when you do it. So what types of books do you read?
Well, when I get a chance to read, I'm not even gonna say no lie, I love your urban fiction book. I do.
Right, okay.
The stuff that I read, I understand what the last book I downloaded was yesterday, Nikki Giovanni's book, the part 3 book. So I read a lot of urban fiction. I ain't even gonna say no lie. The way I see it, I need a release. I don't always want to read educational stuff. I feel like I've been asleep for 7 days, and sometimes I just want to read some relaxing crazy shit. Like, I just want to read something that I can laugh and just have a good time with. So The last book that I downloaded is called My Bitch, Yo Bitch, Everybody's Bitch 3. That's the last book I did.
What is that about?
So let me tell you what else I got on my Kindle. I also got, okay, straight up on your name, I got Silk White, The Teflon Queen 2. That's on my book. I mean, that's on my Kindle. Which, Silk White got that movie that's on Tubi right now that everybody's watching with, what's her name? Claudia Jordan.
Yeah.
What the hell was the name of that movie? Yeah, did you watch Tubi movie?
I've never watched a Tubi movie. I was going to say that.
No.
I always see people post about it, but I don't know. I guess it's just I have to download a new app and create another account. I'm just like, nah.
No, Tubi, you don't have to download anything.
Oh,
you like, if you got Roku TV or whatever, or whatever on your TV, you just go to Tubi and you just watch it. You don't have to sign in to watch TV.
Oh, you don't? I don't know. I might check them. I mean, I see people talking shit about them all the time.
No, I don't care what nobody says because I'm going to put it like this as an author. Tubi to me is like what indie authors is. You get what I'm saying? You doing your own thing. You in your fucking day. I want to get on Tubi my damn stuff. I want to put some of my thoughts on it.
Okay.
Because it's like, you put out the middleman. You doing your own thing. So that's what I say as an author. That's what I say from Tubi. I'm like, I ain't even mad at these people. Look at all these damn authors. I mean, all these actors running around screaming, they ain't getting paid. They ain't getting no money. You ain't heard nobody that's on Tubi making money. Explain. Them motherfuckers out here eating good. They doing they thing back to back. They out here telling, fuck this movie wrapped this month. We on another one next month.
Mm. So Tubi is like a YouTube for movies or something like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Like you know how Amazon is with indie books?
Okay.
And if you got, depending on what your money looking like and how your shit set up, whoever you know, if you know somebody that's filming and doing all that, you ain't got it. That's all I'm saying. Like,
okay.
It's like one of those things like look, like everybody be watching these movies. The movie that I still white was called All I Wanna Do and it got Claudia Jordan in it. You know, she was she's on what that should be. I mean, what is it? On Fox Soul and all that. Like she was on Housewives and all of that.
She's on that podcast with Vivica Fox, right?
Yeah, she's starring in the movie. The movie is called All I Want Is You and it's part one and part two.
Okay.
And that's one of the movies. Like, it's like those people eating good. You know, the writers went on strike and stuff. Tubi went on strike. Them people were working. You got to look at all that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, okay.
Me as an author, this was another thing. Like, if I connect with somebody that can't write, but they had the resources to put out a movie, they're like, hey, we can get you as well. You're damn right. Let's keep this going. You know, that's all I'm saying. Like, you got to create your own avenue in your own lane like that. And then you got to. We couldn't fathom putting our own movies up here with our independent things, so I don't knock them. Some of the dudes be kind of low budget or crazy, but at the end of the day, I appreciate and respect what they're doing.
Right, right.
Because a lot of my fellow authors now have movies on Tubi, you know what I'm saying? I just shared somebody else's post up there on Facebook to play my movies up. So I support all of it. Nikki Turner was in Richmond not too long ago in the summer because she was on a casting call for one of her upcoming movies. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of people on the beginning, you have a lot of well-known celebrities like, shit, this money over here, let me come on over here. So that's an author, that's something you might want to aspire to do, even like you were saying you do music.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about a movie or something on Tubi. So even if you're not actually writing, you be, you know, doing music, directing, whatever, it's like, makeup artist, everything basically everything is needed over here. So it's like if you got something that you can give, this is another avenue. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, no doubt. You know, that kind of led me to my next question because I was reading your bio and I know you said that your books read like movies. Have you ever written a script or considered writing a movie script?
When I actually wrote a play, when I was like incarcerated, we put the play together. When I was in detention.
How did that go?
It went real good. Yeah, we did the play, and I said I was going to actually end up redoing the play.
What was the name of it?
I had a lot of ideas. It's called, which is crazy. It was like the idea is basically, I didn't know at this point what the hell. This is so crazy. I didn't know what I wanted my publication company to be. I told y'all I had a publisher at first.
Right.
What I wrote up there was so amazing for them. Hence, when I actually made my publishing company, you know, so many publications, but it was like so amazing publication. So amazing for that. This Christmas wasn't crazy like that, but it was a Christmas play. So
okay.
I directed it. That's when I also learned. I don't think I'm cut out to be a director. I was like, get your ass over here.
No patience at all.
Yeah, I was like, I don't feel like you're a director, but like, they got on my nerves acting crazy. So. Like, come on there, say this shit now. I'm over here turning. I turn on there. It's like, well, y'all get on my damn nerves. But it was a fun experience. Like I said, because I work and like with me transitioning my career, like I was working at the mental hospital at transition where I was working like in a day program for adults and psychosocial rehabilitation, PSR program. That kind of put a damper in my income. I was making a lot of money when I was working at the psych hospital because the overtime was unlimited. But by me switching jobs, that kind of slowed my bag down until I switched the job and then damn, now everything is falling back into place.
Right.
So what I want to do, I couldn't do it last year because like I said, I transitioned jobs. This year, I do want to work towards putting together, I do want to, if not that play I did before, I do want to do like a Christmas play this year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Talent show too. Like, I just want to do a whole bunch of different stuff. I just want to collaborate and be all over the place.
So,
give other people opportunities.
Hey, do it. What's stopping you?
Nothing. It was just a matter of, like I said, career transition. I'm one of them people. I ain't begging for no money.
Right, right.
Because it's like people out here trying to have talent shows. You ain't got a building. You ain't got a. I just seen somebody posting, yeah, I'm having a talent show. Location to be announced. Date. I'm like, damn, do you have anything else to add to the talent show together? If I'm going to put a talent show together, I know for a fact, like, we have, the library has a whole new auditorium around here. So I'm like, okay, but if they want to build me, I know I can always take my ass to the Richmond Library. I don't think they charge you the library, so I will move it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to think of my resources, if that makes sense, but I would try to do it in a place, in a way, a cost-effective way that'll be fun for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I would have all my stuff together because that's another thing. I'm one, like I said, I like to write. I make lists. I plan. So if I was going to do a talent show, I would probably, especially for Christmas, I'm probably going to start narrowing down everything I'm going to do for that, for the play or whatever. I might kind of do the same thing because I'm like, I'm one of them people too. I don't know. I'm not big on music because I don't know about nobody else. Like my kids, my daughter and my nieces to dance.
Right.
I said, we might have some dance breaks. We have all that damn singing and all that, because I can't deal with all that.
Why not?
Sometimes musicals, I'd be over it. Like, y'all doing way too much singing for me. That's why I ain't go see the Color Purple. I ain't taking the musical. I was good.
Right, right. I feel that. Yeah, I ain't check it out either. But, yeah, take it from me. You know, I put together a talent show. It was a long time ago, like 15 years ago. And I thought I tried to do it big, too. But you need a team behind you when you're doing that, because it can be a lot of work. So,
and that's what I know, and that's why I say you got to get that stuff in order. Cause see, I do pop up. Like I didn't do it last year because, I was grinding, I was working, I was focused on my career. Because at the end of the day, it takes money to make money.
Right.
I'm not gonna be out here like some people, like I said, begging and all this. Like, how the hell y'all got out here? You ain't got no damn money. This not even making sense at this point. So I was trying to get my stuff together today because, like, when I did one year, I did a homecoming, a pop up shop. Like, with Soul Amazing Publications Present, GSA Homecoming, pop up shop. I had like over 20 vendors. I had like a food truck out front. Then my cousin catered in the back. And I had a bartender. I had a DJ. Like, we had everything. Like, it was homecoming weekend. You come in and get your outfit. You could come in there and buy makeup, jewelry, whatever you needed for homecoming weekend that night. It was lit. Like, we had fun. It was fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like to do stuff like that. I love one pop up shops. I was like, one of my goals too. I was like, I want to open. If I could find a building, that's another one on my little bucket list. If I could get a building, I would actually host events and stuff. I would probably do maybe one pop up shop myself a month. But I would also let people that like dance things and stuff, they could practice there. People want to rent out, whatever. So that would be something that's something else I'm interested in doing. You know what I'm saying? Getting a small building.
Right. So do you?
I love my pop-up shops.
So do you like do pop-up shops at like little conventions and things like that?
Yes, I do.
And when was the last time you did that?
I don't think I did it last year. If I did, it was probably for the first of the year. But during the pandemic, I ate. You hear me? I would do shit every fucking weekend. I did sometimes two in a day. I was out here. Because when you do those, you know, like I have all my books and journals, or it might be seen like I showed you the Juneteenth thing. I did a Juneteenth thing.
Right.
And I think I put the video up on, I did a TikTok on it, and I put it on Facebook on that. But it'd be different things. Like, I didn't do my, this was like, I was so devastated. I didn't do my Christmas party because I moved. Like, my shit was all fucked up last year. But I have a Christmas party just to show appreciation for my company. And, I, you know, everybody, we drink, we have fun. And I might sell a couple books, but we just have fun. And I open it up to invite other vendors so they can make some money too. So what we do is, you know, come on out about the Christmas gifts. We do an ugly sweater party. So I love doing these events because they're fun. It's a good networking opportunity as well.
Right, right. That's what's up. All right, so of everything you've accomplished, whether professionally or even personal, what means the most to you and why?
What means the most to me and why is everything that I have accomplished in my life. Once I'm dead and gone, my work still live on. It'll have an impact on somebody's life.
So legacy for the most part.
Yep.
Okay. So if you can... if you can take a long view of your legacy, how would you describe your legacy as of today?
I would describe my legacy as good because it's like I stepped up, and even though I'd be able to play all day on social media, like in real life, you know, I'm a big sucker. I deal with, you know, I take care of my family, the people that mean the most to me. So
right.
I could look back, you know, in my legacy, I would just say, job well done. I did what I was supposed to do.
No doubt.
Reading is dope.
Hey, what are you doing with all those old VHS tapes? Have you ever considered converting those to DVD or digital video? Well, if not, you should. That's the perfect way to preserve those precious childhood memories and maybe even share them with your social networks. If that sounds good to you, go to www.dopedigitalmedia.com or contact us at area code 312-914-8934. And remember, be dope by any means. So you say you worked with a publisher at first. Why did you decide on self-publishing?
Because he signed like 20 authors and he didn't have money for like one author. Like, and we signed all these people telling us, oh, your book's dropping today and tomorrow. We send that way, like, oh no, your book's coming out next month. I'm like, my book was like, for an example, me and you are the same publishing company. Me and you cool. We talk every day. I know for a fact, you sat right here and told me. Yeah, Tiffany, my book ain't even finished. I still got like two more chapters. So why the hell was the publisher pull your book? Oh, we're gonna drop your book. How? It's not even finished writing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, publisher was doing stuff like that. That was one stupid red flag. Like,
okay.
Then telling some people, well, you can go ahead and get it edited. Why am I paying to get it edited if you said this was you per the contract? You said you get it edited. Now you're telling me to get it edited. Like, I don't have damn money to just edit it. Man, I'm new to this. Like, I don't even know who to get it. Like, it was just crazy, you know?
Right.
It was just organized chaos at this point. Like, this is foolish.
So it seemed like he was kind of playing you to the left.
He was playing all of us to the left. It was like, I didn't even feel like, I'll never get a man a recognition of mentioning him. But so I'm going to see, this man had all these goddamn authors on his roster. Like, you signed all of us, and you were trying to be like fucking David Weaver and Leo Sullivan, and that's not a fucking case. He's like, oh, people saying I got a bunch of beautiful girls on my team. I'm like, yeah, we're just sitting fucking ducks. We ain't doing shit. We close and talk about these books every day, but that's it. We're on conference calls for what? Nobody shit is public. And it has some crazy stuff. But I met some really cool females that I'm still cool with to this day that I fuck with. Like, all that was fun. We had a good time behind the scenes outside of history.
Right.
But it just didn't pan out properly. We even had this girl that went viral on Facebook at the time. Her name was Anna Smith. She was even signed.
Damn.
Like, her book was going viral. I don't know if you remember her, but her shit. She had a nice little following behind her. So I'm like, okay, you signed her. And it was another girl named Tina Story. He had two girls that was literally viral. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about plenty of followers. This was before we were being monetized on Facebook. Like I said, it's time 2015, 2016. Like, nigga, you just signed two fucking heavy hitters. He didn't know what the fuck to do with these girls. So the girl Breonna Smith ended up self-publishing her own fucking book, and it was a hot goddamn mess. That book was probably like 20 pages. We was calling that bitch a pamphlet.
You said it was only 20 pages?
Yes, it was fucked up. Like, that's, I was crazy. Like, you fumbled the ball game, because it was so many people that wanted this girl fucking book. Like, you could have ate. He didn't listen to nothing we told him. So I'm telling him, I'm like, you got all of us signed. If you gotta get this shit together, let's do an anthology. You remember how you do, like, Girls from the Hood and all that shit?
Yeah.
Like, the Project Chick Chronicles, like, let us all write a paragraph or page. I don't give a fuck. We need some money around here. We need to be doing something. We were like, let's do an anthology. And I'm like, for real, even, and I'm telling him, like, you know, people don't listen. And what I've come to the conclusion with some people, if it ain't their idea, it's not a good idea. I'm like, we need to do an anthology. This will really put all your options on the map. Let everybody write something. Put that shit in one book. We can all make some money, because the book is going to be well over 100 pages. Put that shit with all 20 people. Everybody's going to get some money, because the book is going to be fire next week. And if you had this girl that was trending, her shit up there, I'm like, he didn't do none of that. That girl ended up leaving. The other girl ended up leaving. It's just like, everybody just started falling off, like, fuck this, we're out.
That's crazy.
So he lost a lot of good people, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And I was like, that's so crazy. And that's all I could say. It was crazy. So I was like, if you can't help me, I'm going to help my damn self. Because in the process, it took 6 months. Because I think I got signed to this publishing company, like in June. My brother might have been July, whatever the fucking case may be. This whole time, we sitting here waiting on our book to get published. I tell you, my book didn't come out until February of 2016. That's because I did it my damn self. Because he never did it. Right. He never did it with my book, so it's like he never signed a contract. That's why I got out of the fucking contract. Like, good, I'm glad he didn't sign a motherfucker. I don't know, shit, I'm out.
Yeah, so that was a good thing.
Yep, and he got mad with me and my homegirl. Like, y'all trying to see my office? Well, my nigga, please, I'm sorry, no, I'm damn company. I don't want no office. It's all me, baby. All me. So we left him, and we all went on to do our own thing. Like, we all published our books, we were sticking together, working together, everything with everything. And it's just what it is. Like, it just taught me that you know, if you want something bad enough, you gonna put that work in, you gonna do it. And that's what I did. Like, I already published my own book. I was going to book events. I remember my first book signing. I ain't have one damn book. And I think I took like 40 copies. I sold all 40 of them bitches that day. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think I sold like $10 a piece. Like, I did what I had to do. Got my shit out there, the radio stations there, announced it. I'm like, oh, I'm getting followers, I'm getting people, I'm networking. This is cool. That's what made me start liking book events and pop up shops, that first event. Because a lot of authors will write books and they just put the bitch in fucking, leave it on Kindle. I'm like, y'all gotta put that shit in print. People like paperback, y'all better know it.
So
and
what?
If your book is in print, your library is to pick it up too, so that's more money too.
Do you have any of your books in the library?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So what are libraries? Just like local libraries?
All over. Like, because see, when you sign your books for Amazon, it's called expanded distribution. So libraries will get your book, and we'll worry if advice then the authors that want their books in the library, call them to the library and ask for your book, and they mad times out of 10 will order it, you know.
That's and lit.
If you get the books in the library, then what you next, and once that shit is in the library, then what you do, you call up to the damn library, or you fill out the form, whatever, like, hey, I'm a local author, I live in this area. If not, even if it's not a local, just say if you want to travel on too, you know what I'm saying, just say that shit up, just say, hey, I live in Virginia, I might want to do some shit in D.C., I might see if they got my book. And they may have it, and if they don't, you can try to get your shit in there. Then you be like, you know, can I come in and do a book signing? Y'all doing whatever. And most people, they love to have you.
That's cool.
So you just gotta find out what, you know, how the things work, how you sell your books or whatever. But you might come in and sell your books, make some money. If nothing else, do a meet and greet, whatever. Then it goes in their newsletter, whatever. You know, you gotta think smart about it. So. Yeah.
Real strategic.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you describe your ideal reader?
My ideal reader? Well, I am a woman of 41 years of age. So, I mean, anybody can read my books if you want to read it, but I write stories for people, you know what I'm saying, like in their 34. I mean, I'm not saying you gotta be my age, but like I know for a fact that most people can relate to my books because there's a lot of younger authors out who write stuff that's older, not older, but people my age, they're like, I don't give a damn about it. I mean, I still do have like drug dealers, gangsters, and all that in the books, but like I was telling you earlier, like I wrote about a chick that's married. Like, I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of my husband. I'm sick of these kids. I try to write about stuff that women in my age bracket can relate to.
Right.
So, I mean, anybody can read it.
Right.
But I try to cater towards, I'm like, I'm not 20 years old anymore. So I write about things that, realistic things. And then it's like, you know, once upon a time in books, you did not have more urban books. It was more, okay, everybody has their little corporate job while we do move, and it was like, I mean, I'm not saying one good books, but I'm just saying they were geared towards that. So I'm trying to write books that you can go to college, you still might be tied up with a drug dealer, whatever, you still might one foot on the other side of, you know, road, whatever. So that's what I write about, and my ideal readers would be someone like myself, you know, in my age bracket.
Okay. So what advice would you give to an aspiring author?
Write every day. That is the biggest thing.
No
doubt. Like, some people be like, I want to be a writer. I'm like, you need to be writing if you're a writer.
Right, right. Writers write.
Right, but some people don't. They just say, I want to be a writer. I'm like, well, I want you to write.
But you know what?
Well, that's right.
Some people want the dream, but they don't want to work for the dream. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They want it to be handed to them.
Yeah. If you are enough, if you're somebody that says you want to write, you just gotta simply fucking write. That's all. So you need to be networking. You need to be over here talking to other authors and things. Like, seeing what the hell, you know, what's really going on, what's trending in the author world. Like, what do I need to do? You need to be attending these events and stuff. Like, you just need to be getting yourself out there. Like, go to book events, go to your local library, damn it, write in different locations. Like, you say you have writer's block, go to Panera, go to Starbucks, go to the park, hell, go to the mall, wherever. Like, that personally, I used to not so much now, but when my daughter, my oldest daughter, like, when they used to, like, go to the mall when they were in high school, you know, when I would take her, when my oldest daughter, she's on a student, when I take her to the mall and shit, I would let both my girls walk around, go hang out with their friends, child, please let's go to the mall, whatever. So my girls is 22 and 17. I would take them to the mall, and I would go to the SM food court somewhere, and I would have my notebook on my laptop, and I would just sit down and write. Like, I got to always keep the BS around, whatever. I'm just people watching, getting ideas. Like, okay, there's a character. Look at her. She's a hot mess. Mm-hmm, this is a good character. So it's like, I find writing to everything. Like, yeah, well, I would sit up here and look at people and be like, I wonder what they talking about. But this is what I think they're talking about. So I'll write a paragraph on it. And like I said, your story might not be on that, but this just gives you an idea to get you writing.
Right. I can dig that. You never know where inspiration will come from.
Right. Because like I said, I write a lot of bullshit. Let me tell you a little secret. Especially when I write on paper. And I learned this a long time ago. I usually start writing on the back side of the paper. I don't ever write on the front. I won't start it on the front. I'll start that shit on the back side.
Why?
I don't know why.
You say you don't know why?
I'll start writing on the back side of the paper, and I just go from there, like, all right, now I'll get over and start on the back side.
Hmm.
Right now, in the margin to everything, like, I'm just going to write something down and get it going, and I'll go from there. Sometimes you got to sleep on it. Like, I'm taking a nap or whatever. So that's another thing. I'm one of those people. I have 1,000 things to do. I'm like, I ain't doing shit till I take a nap. I'm gonna be refreshed when I do that.
I can dig that. Because you know, when you sleep, it gives the ideas time to circulate through your mind. It gives your mind time to, you know, kind of sift through the ideas.
Give your answer enough time to show up in dreams too.
There
do
you
that.
Go.
Do that.
There you go. Your dreams can reveal some powerful things to you.
Right.
All right. So, what is the question that you're surprised no one has ever asked you, but you wish someone would ask you?
I would ask my why they married me. No, that's
a question. I mean, that works too.
Now I know why that didn't happen. I'm bound down to keep buying my time.
You'll be back.
Of course, I'm falling in it. But sometimes I just feel like, hey, this writing could have run a lot further because I have helped a lot of people behind the scenes. So I'd be like, why the fuck I ain't no further? I understand life happens. That is one of those things, like, why? Maybe sometimes I'd be like, why did you not go with a bigger publisher? Why did I stop publishing? That's one of those questions. Why y'all ain't come over here and ask me shit? Give me a damn advance.
Right.
I don't know. I can write. Some niggas ain't better than me.
Right. So you got kind of feel those subtle regrets build up.
Sometimes, yeah, I'd be like, fuck that shit, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, just understand the path you chose is probably the best path for you.
Right.
All right, so I guess, how can people find you?
I can be found on Facebook, of course, all day fucking long, unfortunately. Tiffany Latoya Ford, author. I'm on Facebook, Tiffany Ford, Divine Diva. My website, So Amazing Publication. You can look me up on Amazon by my name. Like, all my social media pretty much is the Tiffany Ford or So Amazing Publication. So, not really hard to find.
Okay. What projects do you have coming up? Like, do you have any new ideas or new books or whatever?
Well, let's see. What projects? We didn't even start on the day. I'm going to start telling all my views. But, you know, I wrote a Christmas story. I was anxious and nervous to release it. It's finished and everything. I just never dropped it. But, I'm like, y'all might get Christmas and damn it, July.
Right.
But I have several stories. I just got to put them out. Like, I told you I'd be working sometimes. But anything that I was taught, I'm just like, shit, I'm going to sleep. But I have several things out that I do want to publish. I want to get some new journals and things out, too. So it's like, there's a bunch of things I want to go ahead and drop. So I do have this out that are ready to publish. You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of getting them out.
Okay. No release dates or anything?
I don't even like the release dates. If I have Amazon just check they want through, I might say, hey, this is coming out on this date. Sometimes it's already cleared. I'm going to just tell you this. Look for something from me. I ask me something because I don't know what it's going to be, but that Valentine's Day, something should be out.
Okay. So something. It's a Valentine's Day surprise.
Something will be out.
No doubt. All right. So that's the last question I have for you. Is there anything else that you want to add that maybe we didn't discuss?
No, I don't really have anything else to add. I really appreciate, you know, taking the time out of your day to talk to me.
This was
very interesting one. And, you know, I enjoy talking to others about books and things. So I just, again, appreciate, you know, taking the time out of talking to this and get out of your busy day.
No doubt. I appreciate you taking time to speak with me as well.
Yeah, we got to do this again soon.
No doubt.
But once I get one of them books out. I mean, I might catch you around Valentine's Day, so we talk about something. We can talk about something that has published by it.
Yeah,
something will be published by
it. No doubt. All right, so I want you to do me one last favor.
Anything.
I want you to say, this is Tiffany Forbes, and you are tuned in to Gilla for Life Radio. What is that beeping?
You gotta say the last part again.
All right. Say, this is Tiffany Forbes, and you are tuned in to Gilla for Life Radio.
This is Tiffany Forbes, and you're tuned in to Gilla for Life Radio.
Alright, they use perfect. Most people mess it up.
Okay, now. You got to hire me.
Hey, I got you. I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Reading is Dope podcast. I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Yeah. And if you would like to show some support to any of the authors that you've heard on this episode or any of the other episodes, you can purchase one of those Reading is Dope book boxes. Each book box includes a book from the featured author of your choice, a Gilla Gear Reading is Dope tee, and some other Reading is Dope merchandise. So if this sounds good to you, go to www.dream-pages.com. Again, that website is www.dream-pages.com. And as a special gift to you for even making it this far, you can use promo code DOPE10. That's capital D-O-P-E 10 at checkout for an additional $10 off of your purchase. Whether this box or any other box that you choose. But once again, go to that website, www.dream-pages.com. And remember, always follow your dreams, embrace opportunities, find your purpose, and seek education. In other words, be dope by any means. 100.